This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. Today,
we made history. Alaskans made history.
Lisa Murkowski is a really unique politician.
With just a handful of votes left to be counted, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says she has won a new term.
She won her Senate race in 2010, kind of at the height of the Tea Party wave, in a write-in campaign. She's only the second senator ever to win a write-in campaign.
This was a huge uphill battle for Lisa Murkowski, who was urged by Republican leaders not to wage this campaign after she lost her primary bid. She had to convince Alaska voters to write in her name in huge numbers, and it appears she was successful.
And so she's not really beholden to the same pressures that a lot of other Republicans are. She's not as concerned about her base. And I think that she, for that reason, is not intimidated by the president's recent attacks against her.
After publicly criticizing the president for his response to recent protests for police reform, Politico's Anthony Adragna checked in with Lisa Murkowski, chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, about how her relationship with the president could affect her future priorities and how Congress could help the energy industry. It's Monday, June 15th, and I'm Kelsey Tamburino.
Keep in mind, she's got two really high-profile policy initiatives she really wants to get done this year. One of them is to move forward with by scheduling a lease in Anwar, which obviously has been a long-time priority for Alaska, has been fought for forever, but was included in the 2017 tax bill. And so that's one. The second is this long-held desire from her for this road in King Cove.
Are you worried at all that the administration is going to be less inclined to follow through on some of those, given your comments last week and the president's reaction to them?
I think on these initiatives, these are policy initiatives that the administration embraced not because they were led by Lisa Murkowski and we want to do a favor for Lisa. They were things that they believe in.
The Trump administration has tried to move forward now twice with this road and has been hit back twice in courts. And she expressed optimism to me that because these are both priorities for the Trump administration as well, she's not concerned that, you know, whatever her interpersonal battles with the president are, she doesn't think that the administration is going to pull back on its own priorities.
Even though the president is somebody who likes to hold a grudge.
I don't know that he likes to hold a grudge or he just likes to tweet. And so, my comments were genuine when I said, I have pledged to work with this president and this administration for the good of Alaska, and they are working with me. So let's continue that good work.
Anthony, you also talked to Senator Murkowski about whether Congress needs to do anything for the clean energy sector.
With 600,000 plus jobs that are currently lost in the pandemic, do you think that there's more that Congress needs to be doing as it looks at potential future packages?
Yeah, I do.
And her response is not really what you would expect most Republicans to say. Can you talk a little bit more about where she's coming from on this?
I mean, I was surprised as well. I think we're expecting more information that may show even more job losses coming soon. But what Senator Murkowski said is she thinks that there do need to be additional steps taken by the federal government to provide relief to that sector, just given the number of people that it employs and where those job losses have been concentrated.
We've done economic stabilization with CARES. But this next package I view more as kind of the, all right, how do we deal with the economic recovery? And so we need to be looking at jobs. We need to look at where we have lost those jobs and how we can work to regain or to kind of, breathe some life into these. And we absolutely have opportunities when it comes to the clean energy space. I do find it interesting that on the House side with the HEROES Act, they were kind of quiet on making sure that there was support for the clean energy sector. So I'm gonna be working on it.
What she mentioned about the oil industry is that obviously it's been really hard hit as well by the drop in prices, but those have now started to come back.
I think you are seeing a stabilization. I think it was very, very important that the programs that were made available through the Treasury and the Federal Reserve were open to the oil and gas sector, just as they should be open to, you know, the wind and solar and efficiency, all the clean energy sectors as
right.
well. But I think that that helped. I think those programs helped, whether it was the PPP or again, the mainstream programs that were made available. So, I think we're probably okay, but I think
it's also worth noting that she said it's really hard to tell with the pandemic. She noted that there's been kind of a spike in cases around the country. And so people may feel like they're, you know, at least on stable footing at the moment, but no one really knows exactly what this pandemic, this unpredictable pandemic, is going to do next.
Also, small oil refiners are taking a new approach to try to win waivers that would free them from renewable fuel standard mandates to blend ethanol with their gasoline. Oil and ethanol industry sources tell Politico small refiners have petitioned EPA to grant them economic hardship status dating back to 2013. It's an unprecedented request that would allow small refiners seeking exemptions from RFS requirements for 2020 to meet the standards set by a federal court in January. The court ruled only facilities that had obtained those exemptions continuously since they were first offered in 2013 were eligible to receive them for the current year. EPA has yet to act on the petitions and place them in a hiatus that hides them from an online dashboard that the agency said would increase transparency. Keep in mind, these waivers for small refiners are a big issue in states crucial to the November election, like in the corn state of Iowa, where President Trump's support has dropped considerably recently, and in places like Pennsylvania that back the refining sector. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy Podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas, and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.